going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
I think the hardest thing about being a college football fan right now is the never-ending and constant upheaval that we get in every offseason. We're going to end up with four different playoffs in four different years. 2023, we had a four-team playoff that obviously Georgia won. In 2024, we had a 12-team playoff. This year, we're going to have a 12-team playoff. And, well, I take that back. 23, it was Michigan that won. Sorry. 2024, we had a 12-team playoff. 2025, we had a 12-team playoff. We'll have a 12-team playoff this year. In 2026, we're going to have a 16-team playoff. And the 12-team playoff that we had last year is changing this year to a different 12-team playoff. Oh, my God. It's going to make my head hurt. So gone from this version, Garrett Chapman is part of the college football team at 99 The Game. Gone from this version are the automatic berths for buys for the top four conference champions in the group, and now the four buys just go to the top four seeds, regardless.
Yeah, I felt like that was an inevitable sort of decision, and the other big thing is that it was such an obvious choice to make, and we screamed about it right when this model came out. We said this is going to be a ridiculous sort of model, and it's going to favor certain teams over other teams, and it's just going to be ridiculous, and ended up being the truth. Then still took them 6 months to get the answer right, and now we're going to have a whole new set of issues that are going to come in here, and you have the Big Ten and the SEC trying to take over the sport, like they already have, but, I mean, this whole thing is just a debacle. It's a little ridiculous. It's getting out of control.
So coming next year, and we'll worry about next year, but just do know the 16-team playoff will have two byes, number one and number two seeds. It will have multiple home games, four automatic berths for the Big Ten, four automatic berths for the SEC. I mean, it's going to be half the field will be Big Ten. That's automatic berths. There are going to be some at-large berths that go to the Big Ten and the SEC. When Shockey, if 9-10 of the teams are from the Big Ten and the SEC, it's the Big Ten and the SEC, you know, invitational. And so those two leagues are kind of running the show. Since nobody else is, they're just going to do it. What are you going to do? Are you going to complain? If you complain, if you're Jim Phillips of the ACC and you stomp your foot, you go stompy foot and say, we're out, you know what the Big Ten and the SEC are going to say? Okay. Clemson's going to wait, we're not out. Yeah, but they're treating us poorly. We're still not out. Yeah, but we're not getting what they are. We're still not out.
Well, John, it's a situation where the SEC and the Big Ten are just the bullies in the room, and the way you counter a bully is you get a teacher, right? Like that's what you have to do. I mean, you have to have somebody who has the interest of college football at heart, right? They have to have somebody in the room who's like an adult in the room, because Greg Sankey, his worry, I mean, for whatever else is there is in college football and whatever influence he has on the national scale, that's not his concern. His concern is getting the most equity and stake for the SEC. And the same is true for every single conference commissioner. Their number one responsibility is their individual silo. And that is where we're running into all these issues. All of them are trying to support their conferences as best they can, and nobody has the actual interest of college football at heart. And look, there's no reason for them to, because they have a job to do. They're doing their job. But college football is the thing that's suffering the most right now.
No question. And fans are going to be, forget this year. Wait a second. Notre Dame could have a top four seed. I thought that they were blocked from having a top four seed. No, they're going to have a top four seed.
No, they're going to have a top four seed now. And it goes from creating a – you're also trying to maintain the validity of a conference championship game while simultaneously trying to be like, Notre Dame, you can still do what you're doing, but then it's all ridiculous. Now Notre Dame has no reason to ever join a conference. They have no rationale for doing that now. There's no reason for them to do it. And then now you have the SEC trying to play these play-in games where it's like a 4 versus a 1 versus a 2 versus a 3. It's ridiculous. All of this.
No,
is
it's just, that, it's not. It, yeah, dumb. It's that's not. No. Yeah, right. The SEC. It might be at the end of the year we find out that the SEC and Big Ten championship games are no more.
Well, they're just going to change it. They're just going to change it. It makes way too much money for them to just take it off the table. It's not going to be a 1 versus 2 anymore. It's just going to change. Not this year, but probably when they get into this new model, what they're going to change is who's playing and how many teams are going to be playing.
Yeah, they're going to go to play-in games,
exactly.
Which is 3 versus 6.
It's ridiculous.
And 4 versus 5, and 1 and 2 get a bye.
It's downright stupid. And what
so there's
done,
no SEC title game. It's 3 versus 6, probably at the home of 3, and 4 versus 5 at the home of 4, and they're play-in games, and the winners of those two games get those. Well, along with 1 and 2, get the 4 automatic bursts.
And John,
in the
this
SEC.
Is, and John, I remember we had this conversation 2 years ago, and this is the number one thing that I was scared of. It's rendering the regular season moot. It does not matter. Not the way that it did. Not the way that it did. And it mattered more for more teams this year. And I will cede that point. But it mattered less for the teams who are up at the top, because you have a team like Ohio State who has their two biggest games of the season turn into losses, and they're not punished for it. In fact, they go win a national championship. It's just not good for the sport. It's objectively bad for college football where we are right now, and even worse, where we're going.
Well, you know, some people are trying to advocate to not go to a 16-team playoff. That's going to happen. You're not going to win that argument.
No. And it's because of the money. It's the money.
Of course.
That's why. It's not because it's what's best for college football, and that's what frustrates me about this whole situation.
Well, I mean, it's best for college football from a – if you're – again, if you have, you talk about silos, athletic directors are in silos. And right now, the thing is that, of course, understand something, everybody. Athletic directors will lie to you, okay? They will – you'll hear something like – and then the media members – we'll go along with it, okay? Because the media tends to lie anyway. How do I know? Because I worked in the media. So they'll lie too, okay? They'll say, you know, the University of Texas lost $40 million. Like, despite doing this and this and this, they still lost $40 million. Okay, no, they did not. It's a value-added business, okay? Because if they don't put the money into the thing, what happens? Oh, the boosters then don't pay for the new stuff on campus. You know, hey, listen, I'll give you $20 million for your NIL, but I want you to do this with it. Well, by the way, I'm going to give you $200 million for a new school of this or that. You know, I'm going to add to the new school of dentistry $200 million. I mean, these people with the money are still pulling the strings. So there's money over on the side that you never see, okay? Booster money that you never see that's got strings attached to it. Because they try and say, well, you know, the athletic program, yeah, but the School of Dentistry just made $250 million. And nobody seems to get that, okay? So it's just the way you score it. And how you score it, if they were really truly losing money, you would have an upheaval, okay? You'd have somebody stand up and go on national TV and say, this has got to stop. You know, and scream it from the top of their lungs. You get the ADs at, you know, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Georgia, you know, Michigan, USC, wherever. You know, you get 6 or 7 ADs up there going, this has got to stop. It's got to stop right now because this is way out of control. We're losing money hand over, because they're not losing money, guys. I'm telling you, they're not losing money. And if you believe they're losing money, I got a bridge to sell you in Arizona. Okay? So it's not good for the game because it's really frustrating when the rules change every single year. And until we get to whatever amounts to a super conference, I guess the rule is going to change every year. And now we got this, Garrett, this House versus NCAA settlement, which is, this thing is just no bueno on top of no bueno. This thing is not good. There's going to be a CEO of college. The Congress is going to pick a new CEO. Congress is going to pick a CEO of college football who's going to be beholden to Congress. Congress is going to oversee college football. Is that what we want? We want Congress to oversee college football, right? No. No, we do not. Oh, my God. I keep wondering when it's all going to start to just kind of like, okay, this isn't working. We have to figure this out. And it overshadows the other thing here, because I want to talk a little bit, too, about this year, Garrett. I want to start talking about this year. I'm seeing a lot of people. Have you seen these stories that, Georgia, which took a big back, I saw this. Georgia, which took a big step back last year. They did?
Where's the step back? That's the funniest thing. I had this conversation with somebody the other day. They're talking about how Georgia's like taking a step back and the X, Y, and Z. They won an SEC title last year. Like,
they were the number two seed.
Yeah, lest we forget, they didn't look like themselves against Notre Dame. And I think that's what everybody has circled. And everyone's like, oh, well, they got bullied. They got this. No, it was about a 90-second span in that game where they got taken apart. You know, that's where it all fell apart. It was right before the half. Notre Dame kicks a field goal. They have a fumble that's then recovered, and then they score a touchdown, and then they return a kick for a touchdown to open up the second half. And that's the game. And that's it. But everyone's like, oh, they got manhandled. Like, no, it was just a stalemate. You're just used to seeing them physically dominate every single person that they play, you know, and that's just not what happened. Now, does that mean that Georgia's dead and gone and buried? Hell no, absolutely not. But do they have some serious questions? You bet. I mean, who's going to be catching the football? Who's going to be throwing
the football?
But
everybody does.
Can they run the ball? They didn't run the ball for last year. They ranked 102nd in college football last year running the football. You're not going to win a lot of games like that, especially in a Kirby Smart system. So they got a lot of questions they have to answer, but they're not far from dead and buried.
Yeah, and that was what I said and warned Georgia fans, Alabama fans, and saying to them, you guys are going to have to understand, this was a couple of years ago, this new system of college football, that 10-2 is not a losing season. 10-2 is actually a really good year. Going 12-0, that's probably not going to happen. And 10-2, 11-1 is a great year. I mean, can you go 12-0? Yes. Is it going to happen very often? No. Because whereas, you know, in the past, you'd have the SEC and you'd have, I don't know, two or three teams at the top that were really good, and then there would be a gap to three or four more teams, and then a big gap to everybody. That's not what it is anymore. Now the gap between one and, say, eight is two plays better that day, right? Because, you know, it's just going to be so because of the portal and because of the NIL. And, which is why Nick Saban wanted to step aside.
And conference realignment. I mean, you add Oregon and USC and all these other big programs into the Big Ten, and then you see the SEC adding Texas and Oklahoma. And look, it was never going to be the same. And it was never going to have the situation where you have all these best teams are playing each other now in every single conference. And then on top of that, teams can't stockpile talent in a way that they were used to being able to do. Like, Kirby Smart, I think his days of having like a bona fide NFL defensive line play behind a bona fide NFL defensive line, those days just they're gone. It's in the past. He's still going to be uber talented, and don't get me wrong, they're still going to be one of the most talented teams that lines up on any field against any team on any given Saturday. But to have that level and then your second team be that talented as well, those days might be numbered.
Yep. No, it's going to be interesting. Who becomes this year's Indiana? Who becomes this year's Arizona State? You know, could
I'll
Florida
say Georgia
State?
Tech. I'll give you Georgia Tech. They very well could be.
Could Georgia Tech? They probably will be an ACC team. You know, Clemson could be the number one team in the nation in the preseason polls. A chance. And But is Florida State the second best team in the SEC? They might be. Not with Gus Malzahn and not with Thomas Castellanos. They could go from 13-0, the injury, the debacle, to what were they, 2-10 last year, right back to like 11, 12 wins this year. I mean, they could. Because in that 2-10, they lost a lot of close games. And they've got you know as well as I do, Thomas Castellanos can play, dude.
He can, but he can also throw a lot of interceptions. I mean, his ebbs and flows are brutal at times. When he's really good, when he's on, doggy that he can play.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun year, and I can't wait to start talking about some of the teams that we're going to be looking at and some of the races and that Texas-Ohio State game to start the season. Oh, man. Georgia Tech-Colorado. By the way, Tech is favored in that game over Prime, as rightfully so. Because,
yeah, that doesn't surprise me. They should win the game.
Colorado lost so much.
Hey, let me tell you this much. The game that I've got circled, the game that I think is going to decide what Georgia Tech does, and they could lose this game and still be fine, it's that game against Clemson in Atlanta in September at Bobby Dodd Stadium. Whew. That game is huge for Georgia Tech.
Quick break. Joe Patrick is our Falcons insider. Had a chance to talk to him, get his impression about what's going to happen in 6 days after June 1st. What does he have to say about the deadline? Well, about the looming date. And what the Falcons are going to do, we'll have that for you next, right here on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature dad hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Memorial Day live from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves have the day off. They are facing the Phillies tomorrow. 13 of the next 30 games are against the Phillies and the Mets. So time for the Braves to make a little bit of hay. Nice win for Atlanta United last night. That was good to see. But look, my expectation for Atlanta United is pretty low. So, I mean, I'll take whatever I can get. When it comes to the Atlanta Falcons, my expectations are pretty high. I think they ought be a pretty good team. Ought be. Whether they are, on paper they are. Whether they are, I can't predict the future. You know, I all I know is that they're an underdog in Vegas in their first 8 games, in every game. I'm like, really? I think just as a general rule, if I could go to Vegas right now, I think I'd bet the Falcons and take the points in all those games, and I bet I'd go above 500. Just saying. let's get to Joe Patrick. He is our Falcons reporter and insider. We talked about what next week, next Sunday, will bring when the calendar turns to June. So we start our conversation with Joe about what happens on Sunday, June 1st. Joining us on the show now, our Falcons insider and Falcons reporter, Joe Patrick, on the WadeFord.com hotline. Joe, what is shaking?
What is what?
What did I just ask you? What's up?
Oh, I thought you were talking to somebody who knows everything about the Falcons. That's not me. That's not me. But I do know something. So that was very kind words of you there, John.
Well, you know more than the average Joe.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
Try to stay humble.
Week from tomorrow is June 1st. What do you think is going to happen here, Joe? What do you expect will take place?
So I don't know if there's – you know, it's going to be – we're going to have to kind of follow, I think, the rumor mill a little bit. I don't know if there is anything that the Falcons are necessarily waiting on for June 1st to hit and then this is going to happen. I think there has been some speculation about that potentially being the case with Ryan Neuzel. The fact that he hasn't signed has something to do with the June 1st date, and that, you know, he would be signed shortly thereafter. It's also curious to me why he hasn't been signed. I do understand he's been practicing with the team. He's even been filmed in some of their social media stuff. But, John, ultimately, I don't think that the Falcons are necessarily waiting for that date to get here so that things happen. Having said that, you know, Neuzel, David Onyemata is a player who could potentially go if there is, again, if you follow the rumor mill and maybe – you know, the team could acquire a Jalen Ramsey or something like that. They need to open up cap room because they're going to make some big acquisition we didn't see coming. That could be a way to do that. And then, of course, you've got Kirk Cousins rumors, which is obviously going to kind of affect the whole puzzle. And that probably wouldn't happen until after June 1st. If there is anything to happen on that front at all, though, it certainly seems at this point like a lot of the parties around the NFL and the Falcons have kind of come to the, you know, conclusion that he's probably just going to stay here in Atlanta unless something changes on the injury front.
Well, yeah, I would imagine that that's going to be the case, and there's no reason to move before June 1st when we're talking about it being 8 days away here. Might as well just let it happen and see where we stand. You know, Pittsburgh is out there talking about, you know, Aaron Rodgers, and there's reports that Aaron, you know, one of the sticking points is that Aaron Rodgers wants to call the plays, and the Steelers are like, I don't know about that. So, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. But the national media comes out and says, well, if Aaron Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh, then the Falcons are, Joe, the Falcons are stuck. They're stuck with Kirk Cousins. They paid all this money, and now they got the highest paid backup, and they've really blown this. Again, I'm going to go back to Joe if I can. The national media is misreading this. They're not stuck with Kirk Cousins.
I agree.
They're going to do what's in the best interest of the team, and the best interest of the team is to carry him at least into the camp, into possibly preseason, maybe even into the regular season, and wait for something to happen where somebody goes, uh-oh, we need a quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely, John. I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, ultimately, look at this from like the high-level perspective of the Falcons going into that year where they did this move, which has obviously been criticized, but I think also they've been vindicated in some respects in that it looks like they do have quality at that position now, the most important position in sports, hopefully and seemingly for a long time, for years to come with Michael Penix. But ultimately they said, you know, listen, we're going to devote massive amounts of resources to secure this. We're going to draft, first of all, it was obviously to sign Kirk Cousins to that big deal. And then it was to draft Michael Penix with as high draft capital as they did. And ultimately, did that first year go the way they wanted to? Absolutely not. You know, they wanted Kirk Cousins to be leading them into the playoffs, and, you know, kind of, you know, proving to himself and the rest of the, you know, media that he can kind of elevate teams and he is that good of a quarterback. He was actually playing pretty well, pretty fine, all things considered, up until the injury occurred and all that takes place. But ultimately, the Falcons are kind of getting most of what they wanted out of all those resources that they spent. And that includes, you know, it was funny because like Michael Penix was considered the insurance policy on Kirk Cousins, which to an extent he was last year. And the team had a chance to make the playoffs with Michael Penix under center. And now it's kind of like they still have insurance. It's just the other way around. Now it's Michael Penix is the quarterback and Kirk Cousins is the insurance. and frankly, he's the best backup quarterback in the NFL. And I've been saying this a lot, John, is that, you know, backup quarterbacks play a non-trivial amount quite a bit. Like they're most teams in the NFL, you know, their back quarterback has to like play a game or, you know, or play, you know, a couple quarters in a game, in a key game, something like that. Because these guys are getting hit, you know? And so, I think it's, you know, the Falcons, unless a team is going to, you know, make them a proposal that allows them to, you know, part with the current situation, they're not going to move off of it.
We're talking to our Falcons insider, Joe Patrick. Mandatory minicamp. There's some OTAs coming up. Mandatory minicamp for the Falcons is June 10, 11, and 12, where everybody's got to be there, including Broke Down Liar, and everybody's got to be there for this. And there's already some chatter now, just over 2 months away from the first preseason game, Joe, as to how Raheem Morris is going to handle the preseason games. We all talked about, you know, would you play Kirk Cousins? How do you handle that? Do you play and risk Michael Penix in a preseason game? But I got to believe with all the new faces and a new defensive coordinator, these starters are going to have to get some run in the preseason, don't you think?
I mean, you might think, I might think, but I don't know if Raheem Morris thinks. you know, he had you know, some key players he lost last year. Braylon Trice being one of them. Obviously, that didn't happen. And that did happen in one of the preseason games, I believe, in that Miami game. Unless I'm remembering that wrong. But DeMarco Hellams happened in that game, you know, who they also lost for the season.
Right,
so,
right.
I don't know, John. I'm with, I think, everybody, which is that I want my starters out there at least a little bit. But, you know, different strokes for different folks, I suppose. And, you know, I will say that these teams now have, like, it's easier for them to not play the starters now because of the way that cuts have been changed in training camp, where now there's just one final cut date. You get your entire roster, you get your entire 90-man until you just have to make all those cuts at the very end. And so it leaves you with, you know, 90 players going out there on the sideline, and you're able to, you know, play Easton Stick at quarterback for four quarters if that's what the Falcons want to do, or Easton Stick followed by, you know, Emory Jones. They could do something like that if they wanted to. And ultimately, it'll be interesting to see if Penix or Cousins play. You would think, based on just out of principle, Cousins should be out there playing as the backup quarterback, like, you know, Michael Penix did a little bit last year at least, but we'll see.
Well, because, you know, Zach Robinson, of course, made some news with his comments about Kyle Pitts. You know, he also said, you know, basically challenging Kyle Pitts to kind of get with the program here in his fifth year. But he also said that it's really good because we are going into year two. And even though, you know, Michael only played three games last year, he was with the system all year. So he understands that everybody's kind of on the same page. The learning curve for the new players, limited new players they have on offense, is really quick. So they should be up to speed fast on offense. That cannot be said necessarily on defense because while we don't know exactly what Jeff Ulbrich is going to run, there's new faces, maybe six new starters, but five or six, and there's a new coordinator. So there's going to be some big changes on defense to make sure you kind of shore that up, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the defense, I think, has been fundamentally changed this offseason. When you look at Jeff Ulbrich, the defensive coordinator, obviously bringing in a different system, or at least a different philosophy, I think, that he said he's going to blend with what Raheem has been doing. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. What I unfortunately feel like that means is we're going to continue to see, you know, a lot of these dropping edge players. But having said that, I think the Falcons have better players that are better equipped to be able to do that. Like, I would much rather see a player like Jalen Walker, for example, be dropping off the edge into coverage than I would, you know, a Matthew Judon, which I feel like we saw all too much last year. But it'll be interesting to see how that happens. But, you know, speaking of Jalen Walker, this defense has also obviously been transformed by these players they've added on that side of the ball in the draft. And I'm actually, when you look at the schedule, John, I'm looking at, I believe it's week 4 and 6. It's the ones right, yeah, 4 and 6, which are right around the bye. And that is the Commanders and Bills. And those games with Jaden Daniels and Josh Allen at quarterbacks for those teams, I think that's going to be a great litmus test for where this defense is, because I think that what they tried to do, or what they're trying to do, is kind of revamp this defense to be better equipped to handle these modern offenses with these mobile quarterbacks. And they've really caused this team problems for the better part of the last handful of years. And so I think it'll be very interesting to see how that transformation process is going. And those two games will be some evidence for us.
You know, all I could think was, you said, you know, Matthew Judon dropping in, which he, you know, said, look, how many sacks am I supposed to have when you're dropping me into coverage all the time? But he's also saying, wait a second, me? I can't cover any. What about Landman? Did you see Landman? That dude, he couldn't cover nobody. And that's one of the reasons that they went out and got Diablo. I mean, that's his job. Mm. You know, I mean, you let Troy Andersen and Caden Ellis, you know, Troy kind of roll the middle and Caden come off the edge. And yeah, you know, then Devine goes out there and covers, you know, the wheel route or the tight end, because that's what he does. And we have to get Ulbrich's philosophy in there. We've got all these new players, again, possibly five new starters. We've got all this kind of, you know, interesting, you know, undrafted free agents that we want to see on the defensive side of the ball. The players certainly that we drafted, you know, we want to see Walker and Pearson, all these guys. So it's going to be really intriguing to me to see. I think the focus in the preseason is going to be on that defense, because I think we're going to know what we're getting on offense, and I think we'll be limited in what we see with Penix.
Totally. I mean, I think that I think that some people are looking at the Falcons this year and just seeing, you know, all the question marks on defense and saying, wow, this offense really has to score a lot of points for this team to be successful. But the way I see it is kind of the opposite. Like, this is surely kind of, I'm biased because of just my opinions, my prior opinions on Michael Penix Jr. and how good I think he's going to be. But I feel like the ultimate success of this team in terms of making the playoffs and doing the things they want to do this season is going to more hinge on the improvements that they're able to make on defense. And with these young players being able to establish themselves in their rookie years, which is not very easy, especially, you know, at the edge position. It's just funny. These guys don't typically, you know, have huge production years in that first year for a lot of reasons, I think. But I think that having said that, the Falcons are not as reliant on, despite the fact that they've needed this edge position for so long, I don't think they're going to be as reliant down to down on these guys, especially a guy like James Pierce Jr., who can just be a designated pass rusher for you, as you would think, considering the need there. So it's going to be very interesting to see how these guys develop.
Yeah, that's exactly how I view it. I mean, if Walker's going to be the edge on one side, Floyd's going to be the edge on the other, and then you have Ebikadi, and James Pierce Jr. Really is pretty much a third down guy. I mean, run defense is in his long suit anyway.
And you've got Leonard Floyd, so, Braylon Trice, and the coaching staff has even been talking about Zach Harrison and Brandon Dorlus as being kind of edges. They're termed as big edges, and they're basically tight end eliminators. Like, they're going to line those guys up over tight ends and make their lives hell. But, you know, you have a lot of bodies you can really throw out there in a rotation.
Yeah, so this is why I think it's going to be kind of a flex defense, and I think Jeff Ulbrich's going to get the most out of it. Look, we don't have to have them be the Baltimore Ravens, Joe. We just need them to be mid. Be mid. You know, and they've got ball hawkers on that defense now. We hear all the stories about all the guys that they brought in that are hawking balls. I mean, if they can do that, then turnovers are us, and flip that field, and you put this team in a position where they can really establish. All right, I want to go to something else anyway, because I don't want to run out of time. Sure. We all understand this. The run game. All right, so at the end of the year, Bijan is – at the end of this coming season, Bijan's eligible for an extension. And the reports are, at least the word is, that if he has the kind of year that we think he's certainly capable of having, that his extension could make him the highest paid running back in the history of the NFL. Now, not that he's not worthy of that. It's going to be interesting to see if they were to give him with Tyler Algier, would they give him enough reps where he would have that kind of a season where he would have, you know, 1,900 scrimmage yards and 17 or 18 touchdowns. I'm not sure that that's the case.
Yeah. I think the Falcons are going to rely on Bijan pretty heavily. I think that what we saw last year was the first we've seen of him kind of getting a heavier dose of the action. And what did it result in, John? It resulted in the Falcons having the highest EPA per play on run plays by running backs than any team in the NFL since 2019. That's how good Bijan Robinson has been for this team. And it's not always reflected in some of the stats. I would say that, you know, he had a statistical year that was just I think on par with what people were more expecting when he came out as a rookie. I think people just expect too much of these guys in their first years in general. I think the Falcons love him. They love everything about him. The person he is off the field, obviously, is kind of well-known to this point. But what he provides is they just value it so much. They really have leaned on it as part of their identity. Make no mistake, like, this team still wants to run the ball. They still want to be physical, even though they're going to throw the ball more this year. They have been a running team the last 3 years. And, I expect Bijan to be the highest paid running back in NFL history because, in large part, the salary cap just keeps going up. That, you know, the biggest contracts given out at these positions every year are generally being the all-time highest paid. And so I think Bijan is, frankly, deserving of that. The only issue is, you know, the injury thing. But fortunately for him, he hasn't had a big one. And I got to be honest, John, I kind of hold my breath sometimes for him that he's like doesn't suffer one because he puts so much force through one leg when he makes those hard cuts. But to his credit, he's been extremely healthy and available for considering any running back, let alone one that gets as much usage as he did.
All right, so let's go back to the beginning here. Let's keep our eyes this week with June 1st looming on Pittsburgh. The Steelers, do they get a deal done with Aaron Rodgers? I almost said Alex Rodriguez because I had A-Rod on the brain. With Aaron Rodgers, if they get a deal done with Aaron Rodgers, then, okay, we'll move on with Kirk Cousins. If they don't, if something falls through, then I think, Joe, we're going to be kind of starting to peek around the corner. Will Pittsburgh be calling the Falcons?
They could, although I have heard rumors this week from, I believe it was Jesse Palmer at Underdog Sports or whatever, that they basically are trying to kind of lay the groundwork for potentially just, you know, basically convincing their fan base that Mason Rudolph is going to be a good enough quarterback for them next year and not have to worry about trying to, you know, add contract and whatever. I would think that if that were to happen, if word were to get out that they were not going to be able to get a deal done with Rodgers, the Falcons would be reaching out to the Steelers to make it worth their while. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they're trying to lay the groundwork that Mason Rudolph is, like, they'd be happy with that. So it's kind of funny all the Machiavellian tricks these teams are playing this time of year. But to your point, I think it would certainly make a lot of sense for the Steelers. They wouldn't, I believe, have any kind of long-term attachment to Cousins if they wanted to come out and get him. So I don't think that the Falcons couldn't make that worth their while.
Yeah, let's look at Bijan and see if he breaks out. You know, I already think he's in that Saquon universe, so let's see if he really breaks out and becomes that superstar player that we all think he's going to be and is on the edge of. Quick break as we head towards the top of the hour on a Memorial Day Monday live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Memorial Day on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game. Abe Gordon, our old buddy Garrett, coming up top of the hour. Digging in the big chair. You should see what Abe has on his calendar for his show today. But thank you to all the heroes out there. Some gave all, indeed. So, to all of you who had families touched by this, we acknowledge you on this Memorial Day. All right, so we got a lot coming up here from a sports perspective. You know, this week, Garrett, I'm trying to figure out, you know, how long do the Hawks wait before they start, you know, kind of making moves and kind of figuring this out to get it. Again, we're a month away from the draft. You would think that they have a pretty good idea what they want to do. You don't just fire a general manager and not know what you want to do, right?
Well, you need to hire a general manager first. We'll see when that happens.
Well,
I mean,
I know.
I think we're gonna start seeing some movement after the NBA Finals finish up. That's my expectation. But I think, what do you think is first? What do you think is first? Do you think they make a move secondary to Trey, or do you think they try to get a Trey Young extension first?
I understand, but you can't answer that question. You can make a wild guess, but until we know, why did they fire Landry Fields? We don't know that.
I don't think we'll ever know. And until his book comes out in 15, 20 years or something, I don't think we're ever going to know.
Yeah, well, I mean, we may know if all of a sudden they trade Trey Young. We can go, I guess they went to Landry, and Landry said, hell no, and they said, okay, you're out. You know, yeah. I mean.
Or maybe the first thing they do is sign an extension. Well, you know, the first move that's made, I think, is going to tell us everything. And we could speculate at that point.
Well, the first, you mean in the front office or, you know, in the team?
The first decision, whoever the new general manager is, the first decision that this person makes will be pretty much all we need to know.
Well, the first thing you have to do is get a team president, you know, I mean.
But you see what I'm saying, though. Whenever we install whomever that person is going to be into that role, the first decision that they make is going to tell us everything about why Fields was fired.
Yeah, you would hope. I mean, well, not hope. I mean, you would certainly get an indication that's why they moved on, because I was shocked as anybody. You know, I thought, hey, you know, they got something going here, and all of a sudden he's out. I'm like, okay, why? And the Hawks are notoriously tight-lipped, so I would think that they want to do this. You know, you're right. They may be waiting for somebody that's still in the playoffs of the four teams that are in the playoffs. And then maybe, who knows, maybe they're waiting on somebody who's going to end up in the NBA Finals. But, boy, you start to cut it a little close if you're waiting for the end of the NBA Finals pre the draft. It's a little close because you're going to have to hire a team president, director of basketball ops. And then that person's going to have to hire a general manager. And then you got to make moves. And that's going to have to happen boom, boom, boom. So I would think they've already, I don't know this, but I think they probably already know. They've already started talking to that person, probably already agreed, but they can't do anything until that person is, you know, available. And that's why I think you're right. You know, I think we're just totally speculating. It may be somebody that's still involved in the playoffs right now. But we'll find out and see what happens with that. So that's one thing to keep your eye on. And, of course, you know, June 1st, next Sunday, June 1st, what happens with, you know, Kirk Cousins and David Onyemata. I don't imagine David Onyemata's, you know, everybody talks about it, but of course I was surprised about Landry Fields. But, Garrett, I just don't see the Falcons moving on from. I think they're going to lean on David Onyemata this year.
I think he's probably of the people who is going to be a post June 1st. He's likely the primary candidate to be a cut. It just depends. I don't know. The depth of that room is not something that gets me super excited. I'm not thrilled about what it looks like right now, but you're also counting on a lot of those young guys to take that big step forward. But do you feel confident about that room if you cut David Onyemata?
Well, I mean, I do like things we don't know, right? One of the things I do know is that I saw Rook play, and I was like, why aren't they playing Rook? And I think Jeff Ulbrich came in and go, why weren't you guys playing Rook? I mean, because he was just sort of destroying people there towards, you know, the time he got in.
Yeah, but and you, I think you also
they,
have to...
I think they like Street a lot.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. No,
go ahead.
I'm saying Rook is great, but the thing is Rook is not going to be able to be on the field three downs. Like, he's not going to do that every single down. You have to have some kind of rotation there. It's him, Morgan Fox, Brandon Dorlis. I mean, David Onyemata is somebody who I would feel pretty confident in to have somebody you can kind of lean on, given that opportunity. But you're paying him a lot of money. That's really the biggest thing.
Yeah, but I don't know that money is necessarily that big an issue right now. I mean, if you're going to clear out money, again, we're just speculating, folks. If you're clearing out money for Jalen Ramsey, then you're probably trying to move on from Kirk Cousins, not David Onyemata.
In a perfect world, yes. In a perfect world, you're not paying your backup quarterback $27 million. But, I mean, it's not a perfect world. This is the one we're in. But David Onyemata is an easier cut because he doesn't have all that guaranteed money. If right, you're just going to make a again, one-to-one move.
The cap hits on both Onyemata and Cousins drop on June 1st. And that's a big issue here. So we'll see what happens with this. Again, it's going to be a very interesting week. And what are the Braves going to do? Look, the Braves are already, they're off today. They go play Philadelphia again. 13 of the next 30 are against Philadelphia and the Mets. They're going to play Philadelphia starting Tuesday. I know that there are 110 games left, okay? I get there's plenty of time. But they're 8.5 back of Philadelphia. And that's a lot. You know, you got to start. It's not just enough for you to play well. You're going to have to win those head-up games because they're two-for-ones. You know what I mean? So yeah. Those head-up games against the Phillies are going to count a lot. So you really need to take 2 out of 3 in this series coming up against Philadelphia. I mean,
well,
you can't afford to take 1 out of 2.
Well, yeah.
1 out of 3, pardon me.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is a spot where everybody has kind of doomed the Braves. And it's like, you can't really do anything until you've actually seen the teams in your division and see how you're playing against them. And you've dropped some games that you weren't supposed to. The game against the Marlins earlier in the season, one of those was a rainout. But ultimately, you really haven't played a lot of divisional opponents to this point in the season, which feels a little strange to say. But this series is going to tell us a lot. Really, the next couple of weeks is that's what's going to tell you a lot about what the Braves are in the first half of the season and whether or not we can get this team back on track. If they can come back, and if they can win a couple of these games against the Phillies and the Mets, they'll be right back in the thick of this thing in no time. You know, because like you said, it's a 2-for-1 mm-hmm. opportunity.
Right. So, again, 13 games against the Phillies and Mets over the next month. And then Pedfar is back in your lineup, and you got to figure that out, what you're going to do with Pedfar.
Well, he's going to start in left field. Yerickson yeah, Profar is going to start in left field. The question is, what do you do with Eli White in Alex Verdugo?
Well, if you're going to put Eli White at shortstop, I don't know why you wouldn't start doing that now.
Well, it's because I don't think he's going to play shortstop. I just don't think that's that's not your first choice. That's a stopgap. It's an emergency situation. You know, that's the break glass in case of emergency utility guy. But he's not really my optimal choice to have there because he's not going to give you so much more at the plate that you need to sacrifice the defense on the other side. So
if you've got Verdugo and you've got Eli White, then they become bench guys.
Yeah, Verdugo's a great bench guy. I like Verdugo coming up in a bench spot.
If Snicker can find him on the bench to get him in the game.
John.
Well, am I wrong?
Well, sure. All right, but Verdugo's going to have a role here. Eli White's going to have a role here because Ronald Acuña is not going to play every single day. It was a question mark of whether or not he was going to play on Sunday, and that's a situation where Eli White or Alex Verdugo would come in there and spell him in that spot, Verdugo specifically. But as far as what Profar looks like, we don't know. We have no idea what he actually is. He's going to come back, and they're going to put him right back into the lineup. I don't know if they're going to – I don't know if you treat it like a rehab start where you play him in the minors and have to work him his way back up. I don't know how that's actually going to end up working out because he only played a week of baseball at the professional level with the Braves. So it's unprecedented for me. I don't know what it's going to look like.
A lot of questions with every team right now. Boy, that's for sure, which is why it's going to be a wild and interesting and crazy summer for Atlanta sports as we try and figure out what the Falcons are going to do from a roster standpoint, what the Hawks are going to do from a front office and roster standpoint, what the Braves are going to do from a roster standpoint to try to put themselves in a position to contend again this year. And, of course, the Braves have been the dominant team in the division again. How many in a row? How many have they won in a row? Six? Something like that. And then until last year, and then they sneak in. Can they get back to being the champions of the NL East? Right now, again, 8.5 back. I know, again, 110 games to go, but if you don't make some hay against the Phillies head up in the next month, then it becomes problematic. We get past the halfway point. Yeah, that was last year. And guess what happened? All right, well, of course, the Phillies have been our curse, haven't they? Blech. Those dudes. All right, thanks to everybody that called in. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your Memorial Day and enjoy your cookout. Garrett, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Stand by for Abe Gordon's going to take you through the rest of the afternoon and into the evening. Live right here on your home with the Falcons, United, and the Atlanta Hawks Sports Radio, 99 The Game.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm.
Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa. Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature dad hat and cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.